Hi, Paul. You see that? That's how many people like that song. All four of them clap. Okay?
No,
just be quiet. Okay, all four people. We have a split band this morning. This is inside information that you probably don't even care. But this half of the band does not like that song. We just don't care for it. It's kind of, don't like it. Okay? And then, of course, that side of the band, because they're on that side with Paul, they're not going to be honest and say they don't like it. And then Paul pulls the big dog and said, well, when you reach a certain skill level, it's okay to play that song. And, yeah, so he takes it to us. And now we're going to worship together. No.
You made the mistake of putting me in charge up here.
Yeah, that's the point. You're in charge. Hey, we're glad you're with us today. We have fun, don't we? Yes. I mean, we really do. And we hope you have a part of that. You know, the kingdom of God's like a party. And I know sometimes we go to church and we're morose and it's down and there's time for that. But, you know, God, when he says we know him, it's an abundant life. It's joy to the fullest. And that's what we need to explain. That's what we need to live. That's what people need to see in the world. Not just so down where our joy is gone. But we have the truth. Today, first service was great. As I realized as we went through this set, as we talk about the armor of God, that the one thing about God that we can always rest assured is that he is unchanging, that he will not change. And that is what we can hold on to. The truth of that, as we talked about the belt of truth and all that, God does not change. We don't have to be up and down. He is the same. Mutable, and he will not change. And so as we begin, why don't you stand with us and we begin singing that he is unchanging in every way.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, I've got one thing to say. In this song, it says, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One. I'll tell you, I have two major things going against me for that. First is what I call the bat wings. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. The other is I was raised Southern Baptist, and we never even got this much off. So if I can stand up here in front of everybody and raise my hands praising God, and if you love praising God, I want you to be bold. I want you to be fearless. I want you to raise your hands and praise the Lord God Almighty.
There you go.
guys sound wonderful. Go ahead and have a seat. We got a couple of announcements for you guys. On July 20th, we're having a family fun day at the Bars House, a Rich and Glenna Bars House, from 6 to 8 p.m. They have a pool. They have a spa. They have a vineyard. I called it a winery last service, and they made fun of me.
No, I just said grapes don't make a winery. Grapes are called a vineyard. That's all.
We need to let this go.
You brought it up.
No, I know. But so they have I was going to say it again. They have a vineyard, but I don't think they'd like you going out and tasting the grapes. But anyway, they have it there, so you can, you know, look at it. It's beautiful. But if you go, you should want to go. I'm saying there's no if. You should just go from 6 to 8, but bring a side dish that feeds 6. It's going to be a fantastic time. We've done it before. It's just a great time to hang out with each other. And then August 3rd, we're going to have a family dedication. And a lot of churches call it a baby dedication. We don't call it that here. We call it a family dedication because you're dedicating to raise that child in fear and admonition of the Lord in a godly way. And so it's about family. So if you have any questions about that at all on August 3rd, go ahead and talk to myself or to Pastor Bill about it. So go ahead and stand up, welcome somebody, give somebody a hug, say welcome to Grace this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and complete your conversations to their completion.
There we go.
And make your way back to your seats. Remain standing for us as we continue in worship, singing Ancient of Days. Ha! Just kidding. Singing All Because of Jesus We're Alive.
I think he's, you know. No, I didn't. I will.
Author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead men alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. It's all because of Jesus. cause I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises dead men alive. And it's all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days. Now that I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive.
Sound great. Go ahead and have a seat.
The seems to be a theme today that as we go through here, especially, that the one thing we can count on is that God forever reigns, that He's unchanging, and that He reigns whether our days are good or whether our days are bad. That if we're going through the trials of life, God still reigns. He is still God. If we're going through the great times in life, give blessing to God. But even if we're going through the bad times, bless God, because He is good. He forever reigns. So He is the light of our world. He is the hope in the darkness. He is all of that, because He will forever reign.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, You are love. You are love. On display for all to see. You are light, You are light. When the darkness closes in, You are hope, You are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace, You are peace. When my fear is crippling, You are true, You are true. Even in my wandering, You are joy, You are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, You are life. In You, death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to Your arms. I'm running to Your arms. The riches of Your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to Your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more, You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, You are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, You are here. In Your presence I'm made whole. You are God, You are God. Of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to Your arms. I'm running to Your arms. The riches of Your love will always be enough. Nothing compares. Jesus, my heart will sing. compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. I run into your arms, I run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares.
My heart will sing no other name than the name of Jesus, God, and my soul pants for you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though are a king, and I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. To worship you. And I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. And you alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. To worship you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you.
Amen. Stars, you are dismissed. Stars are kindergarten through fifth grade. To the back. You know, when Jesus came, he did something revolutionary, and I know a bunch of things are popping through your head. Probably none of those things are what I'm going to talk about. Before he came, everyone looked at God as ruler, as Lord, as sometimes even the aggressor. But he said, no, I want you to look at him as Father. This is how you pray. Our Father, our Father. And even more than that, he said Abba, which means daddy, which is almost a term of endearment. Like, he wants to be intimately involved in your life. He doesn't want to just be up there and rule you and lord over you. No, he wants an intimate relationship with you. And I know sometimes in our life, guys, we can get to a point where we revert back and we see God only as the one who wants to lord over you and rule your life. But you have to remember that Jesus said it, Abba, Father. And he wants that intimate relationship with you every single day. That does not change.
Ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my love. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Define me, you're inside of me, you're my reality. To you. closer than the skin on my bones.
Abba, I belong to you.
Some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Listen to this. For the day is coming that the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are alive, who are on our left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds, together to be with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord, our King and our Messiah, forever, forever and ever.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
God, we come to this place to give you honor and to give you praise because only you are worthy. God, help us to believe every single word of every single song that we sang here this morning, that you are unchanging, that is all because of you that we are alive, God, that you reign in our lives and you welcome us with open arms, and God, that our soul should pant for you as a deer pants for the streams of water, God, and that you are our Father, you are our Daddy, and that relationship is there. We can have that with you, God, and you are greater, you are stronger, you are more powerful than anything that will come against us. So help us to live that way, to live with a passion and determination that cannot be quelled, that cannot be pushed down, because we're living for you, God. If you are for us, then whoever could be against us? Help us to believe that. We thank you for this time that we can be here. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Rebecca, come on up here. And I think Laura's in this service. So if Laura, if you'll come on up. Oh, she's coming out of the back. Come on up and join us. So as Laura comes, I want you to tell us, first off, not so much about the ministry here, but what God's doing in your life and what he's been doing and where we know not to go and that kind of stuff like that. So fill us in. This is Rebecca, by the way. Rebecca takes care of our nursery.
Yes. For the past 2 years, I was in nursing school. I actually made it through. Miracles do happen. God is real. I took my board exam on Thursday. Unfortunately, I don't know the results, but I can say that I actually feel pretty confident. So hopefully in the next few days, I can tell you I'm an official registered nurse.
Woo-hoo! There you go. And with that comes change.
Yes, and with that, of course, comes change. I guess the next logical step would be find a job. So in the nursing world, like in other places, the newbies get nights and weekends. So I have that to look forward to. So with that, I have to step down from nursery so we can get somebody who could take, you know, the reins and actually be able to do everything that needs to be done, since I will be busy, hopefully, taking care of patients.
There we go. As well as we are also, I mean, you came up, because Amy came to you and said, okay, we need, you have a kid, you should work in the nursery. And exactly. You started.
Right.
And that's where it began, isn't it?
Yes. I had been coming to the church for a while. I was feeling more comfortable, but I didn't really think about serving until she straight asked me. She said, you know, we need more help. Can you help? And I felt a little bit guilty that I didn't think of it. But I said, of course I'll help. And one thing led to another, and now I was running it. I don't know how that happened. So, but, you know, it made me think, we constantly need more workers. And, you know, if I haven't gone up to ask, this is maybe me asking you guys, can you work in the nursery or maybe somewhere else in our church? Because we do have a growing need at this point.
Yes, as the church grows, as we've started Tracy Campus, we lost a lot of people there who did our nursery. If we... how many people do we need? If we do a fifth-week rotation, how often is someone serving?
Well, it would be ideal for anybody to just be able to do 1 hour a month.
So 1 hour a month. Service. One service a month.
Right.
Right. Not a whole two services. Nope. One service a month
one
when we're fully. And so we need people to help fill that out, especially the fifth-week rotation.
Of
isn't
course.
That right?
Yes.
All right. So what qualifications do they have to have?
None.
There you go. Heart.
Arms.
And flexibility.
Of course. And just, you know, just a really willing and flexibility and dedication.
Yeah.
I mean, we need consistency because but we know things happen. So, you know, to be able to go to you if there's a problem and, hey, can you help us? And a cheerful heart. That's really all we need.
And we have many here who have been coming to our church, growing in our church. And it can be men, women. I mean, it's all laid out. The whole thing is there. 1 hour a month at the best situation. So I encourage you, some of you, especially who are new, who've been here for a while, and you sat here and you've soaked up and you think it's great. Now it's time to start unsoaking and giving out, serving a little bit and going within that. So this is Rebecca. She's going to be out in the foyer when we're done. And if you can say, hey, I'll help in the nursery for one Sunday a month, she'll take your number, and then we'll start. Now, we've had those who have also risen, and God may still be working in others who have come to us knowing that there's going to be a need and said, hey, I'll help administrate this. I'll help put it all together and do that. And so we're appreciative of that. But if you're willing to just say, hey, I'll put myself down there and write me down so that I can help minister with the nursery, we would like to do so. Let me take your mic here. Hang on just a minute. Just stay right there. Hi, Laura. You don't like this part, do you?
I hate microphones.
I know you do. That's okay. So Laura here is in charge of our stars and junior stars and all of that going on. Stars going great, but we have needs there as well, because we've got people shifting as well.
Yes.
They're going to other areas of ministry, and so we need to replace them with people who are just getting into ministry, right?
Absolutely. And here's the coolest thing about stars. Entry-level position, all you have to do is push a button. And some of you are very good at pushing buttons.
Yeah. Oh, I just handed you the mic is all. So... So how many, I mean, right now, I mean, to really fill out the whole star schedule for various levels, because I know there's positions all around, how many do we need?
Six.
Six people. So in this service and last service, between, let's say, 10 people in the nursery, that would really round out our entire schedule with alternates, and 6 people, I've got to believe there are people here who can serve. You can come and serve in one hour or the other, and then worship with us the rest. It's just a great day and a great way to do it. And the kids are great, aren't they?
They're awesome. And age doesn't matter. Diane Langdon is in there working in our store today. And I have high school students in there on a regular basis, which is awesome. The little kids, the Junior Star kids, love it when high schoolers work in Junior Stars, because, I don't know, maybe high schooler students are more fun than us old fogies.
Junior Stars meaning what age?
Junior Stars is 4 years through kindergarten, and then Stars is first grade through fifth grade.
Gotcha. All right, so we don't beg. We're not doing that. We don't want to do that. The motivation is by love. If you love the Lord, you love the church, and you love kids, or if you just need to serve, whether you like kids or not, really isn't the issue. The issue is you love the Lord. You know, I don't like kids. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. But, I mean, it's just a matter of serving there where God said, hey, you know what? I want to be willing and serve wherever God wants me, and that's part of the process. Give them both a hand. Thank you so much. And see either Laura or Rebecca right after the service here. Gustavo. Ven aquí, por favor. Ándale pronto. Stop it. So let me just say, I had someone come up after the first service who are fairly new to our church, and they wanted to know exactly what you were saying. And I said, well, let me translate for you, though I don't know what he's saying. No, I do know what we give him. For those of you who are newer to our church, we have a number of people whose English is second language, and they appreciate the outline of where I'm going because, as you see, I talk fairly quickly. And so what Gustavo is doing, I give him, you know, a paragraph or some bullet notes. He turns it into a story like that in Spanish. And then probably is telling you about the World Cup and the 49ers and all that, which I would never know. I did catch Caballero in there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a horse or a cowboy, but it's not, is it?
Well, vaquero is a cowboy. Caballo is a horse.
Okay, be the caballo and say what you're supposed to say here.
Oh, actually, one thing I had to tell you. La señorita Janet me dijo que te dijera que tus pantalones te quedan muy grandes.
I got the mi esposa. That's all I got. You're seeing me after church. You Spanish speakers, somebody throw him under the bus for me. Okay, all right.
Okay. Hablando de servicio. Okay. El tema de hoy es la armadura de Dios, y a lo que me refiero con la armadura de Dios son esas cosas que nos ponemos para protegernos cuando vivimos por la causa de Él. Y se nos dice que tomemos y alcemos el escudo de fe. Y a lo que me refiero al escudo, no sé si se acuerdan los tiempos de los romanos, que era como un plato, era de madera o de metal, y se usaba para protegerse en la batalla de flechas, espadas, etcétera, lo que sea. Pero bueno, y la idea es eso, de que cuando nuestra fe en verdad empieza cuando confiamos en Dios al 100%, y nuestra fe crece cuando vivimos por Él. Entonces, ¿cuándo en verdad empieza nuestra fe? Cuando nos encontramos en esas situaciones tan difíciles que están completamente fuera de nuestro control. Esa situación cuando dices, Señor, libérame, te lo doy todo a ti. Entonces, es ahí cuando le das todo tu confianza y todo a Él. Bueno, y con eso sigue que nosotros vivimos por Él y sabemos que es esa idea es fundada por Dios, por lo que nos ha dicho. Y en esos tiempos difíciles quiero que se acuerden de una cosa, que Dios nunca nos dejará y Él conoce nuestras vidas. Y todos sabemos que esta vida nunca será fácil y menos pareja. Pero Dios es bueno y cualquiera la situación, Él la usará para su bien.
I didn't hear it that one. Did you say it that time?
Yeah, I used a different reference.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was listening intently. Thank you, Gustavo. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians. We're looking really at the armor of God. And as we started within Ephesians and really hived within the armor of God, we want to continue this morning in that same vein. And as I thought, especially as we went through our worship, that if we understood that God is unchanging, that He is forever faithful and He reigns forever, that He is with us forever, that He is a great God who knows our needs, who knows where we need to be. If we could really assimilate that into our life, then most of this we would have already the armor of God on us. if we really just knew the truth of that. Now, the armor of God, as we started this series, we looked at the belt of truth. That really anchors everything is the belt of truth, that there are absolutes, and God's truth is in his word, and that anchors everything, the belt of truth. Not feelings, not emotions, but the belt of truth. Not experiences that you may have, but the truth of the word. What does God's word say? And when we take that and apply it to our lives, we see that here's the truth, then everything else is anchored to that. We take the belt of truth, which is the absolute of what God says. And from that, we realize that we then put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. Not our good works. We don't have any when it comes to getting to heaven. But we put on his righteousness, imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness to us, that we would have the righteousness of God. So that when the accusations, as we looked at, are made against us, when the evil one, when the devil wants to say, oh yeah, but he does this. Yeah, he may do that, but he's covered by the blood. I've redeemed him, forgiven. He's justified and forgiven. And the breastplate of his righteousness, behind that breastplate of his righteousness is an unrighteous person. Ah, but he's given us his righteousness. It's not about me. It's about him. It's what he's given to us. We looked last week at Pastor Paul brought to the issue of the footwear of the gospel, that what is on our feet to take that gospel that protects us from getting wounded, to stop that the gospel of peace, that when we understand the truth of the word of God, when we understand how much God loves us, and we see what God has done in us and through us, when we realize that we are new creations because of the breastplate of righteousness that has been put upon us by him, that he's changed our life, and when we see that, we then have the foot feet that share that with others, the gospel to go and share that with others. It should be a constant motivation, quite frankly. We shouldn't need somebody behind us poking us with a spear to tell others about the goodness of God. We shouldn't need others behind us telling us, oh, they don't need to know that. No, we should really approach that with the courage to say, you need to know about the righteousness of God that he longs to give to you. Ephesians 6, as we go on, Ephesians 6, 16, it says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, that rendition there, that version of that, in addition to all of this, it's right in the middle of the phrase, of the passage. And a better translation of that is the priority of importance. It says, in addition to all of this, in essence, it said, above all else, you have the truth, you have the righteousness. Now, what you need is the shield of faith. And when you have this shield of faith, you will ultimately extinguish all the arrows. You can extinguish the arrows of the evil one that has that quiver full of guilt and shame and burden. And you can extinguish all of that. The priority of the shield of faith, as we see its priority, it is above all that priority. Faith is essential to your Christian life today. If you call yourself a Christian, or there's those who are here seeking, wonder what it's all about. Faith is needed in this process. We have the faith in our lives, that faith is needed. Now, there's three types of faith within this that you find in God's word. Some of you are of this first faith, and that is a system of beliefs. You really believe the Bible. You believe, in fact, in the New Testament times, the faith became known as, oh, you're of the faith. And they saw all Christians as the faith. And some of you are in this. You have a system of belief. You may really believe the word. You may really believe the Bible. That is a system of beliefs. You may say, hey, it's good literature or it's good to live by, but that's all it is, the system of beliefs. Because the second type of faith is saving faith. The faith that he talks about in Ephesians, for by grace, through faith, we come to know Christ. That element of faith, believing that God sent his son, that we are in need of a sinner, we were sinners in need of a savior, and God sent his son to die for us. That saving faith that says, I change my dependence from myself to dependence upon God. And God says he gives us that very faith. He gives us that saving faith to trust in him. And then we move from not just a system of beliefs, but we move to where we own that faith. And then it goes into a living faith. 2 Corinthians tells us that we, the just shall live by faith, that we are to live this Christian life by faith, the living faith. We live by faith. Now, living faith is where we find ourselves today. But that living faith, as I said, is founded in truth. It's founded, it's in truth. We have a lot of people who will use feelings and emotions and impressions, and they'll think, oh, that's my faith. But faith is founded in the truth of the word, that belt that we wear. There is an absolute. This is fact. It's not based upon our feelings. It's based upon the fact. God says he's forever immutable. He will not change. He's a great God, an awesome God. Man, our feelings go like this, don't we? Something bad happens, our moods are down. Something good happens, our moods are up. All those things. God says, listen, faith has none of that because it's based upon the object of the Lord Jesus. And faith is more than a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's not just an inner impression. Some people say, oh, I just have faith this is going to work. And they're looking at the object of something being done. Some people say, oh, I just feel it. That's not faith. Faith is based upon, it's not just holding good thoughts for someone. Man, you can hold all the good thoughts you want. I hope Don's holding good thoughts on me in his head up there. I hope he is. But guess what? It doesn't infect me at all, really, quite frankly. Now, if Don said, I'm praying for you, that's a whole different ballgame. People who don't want to pray for somebody because they may not really believe in God, and so they, if you pray, you have to pray to somebody. So they say, oh, I'm holding good thoughts. Well, hold good thoughts and feel warm and fuzzy, but you really don't help them, except that you care for them. You're saying, I care for you. But if you really want to change somebody, if you really want to pull the faithful God, the immutable God, then you call upon him to deal with them and to help with them and to take their burden, to ease their load. It's more than just a feeling. It's the assurance daily that God is with us. We know the truth that he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from my love. That is where trust and faith come from. But what I love about faith, really, is faith begins where the probabilities end. We like to control, don't we? We love control. Oftentimes when we can control something and work in it, we don't think God needs to work, right? Because we can control it. Faith begins where we have no control. Where probabilities end. In hopeless situations. That's where faith takes over. Probabilities where, God, there's nothing that can solve this except you. That's where we exercise faith. That's where we exercise trust. Was it probable that a shepherd boy could kill a giant warrior with a slingshot? Was it probable that a wall would fall, huge wall around a city, would fall completely down by people walking around it and all of a sudden shouting, banging pans together, and the wall came down? Is that probable? Is it probable that rain would deluge the earth, cover the earth, and save all but one family in a boat made for water, rain, of which they had never seen? Is it probable that one could survive the den of lions? Is it probable that three could survive the fiery furnace? Is it probable that a few men, chosen by the way they drink water out of the brook, is it probable that those few men could destroy the army of thousands? Is it probable that a child being born and under a day when all of them were to be executed was adopted by the very Pharaoh who said, take care of these and kill the kids, was adopted by that Pharaoh later to grow up and against the Pharaoh and the government come back and lead the people of Israel out of bondage? Is it probable that that would happen? Is it probable, as you look around this room, that a life so screwed up and so pointless could be changed? Some of you would say it never was probable, but boy, look what God has done in my life. I'm amazed. Is it probable that God would love even me? I am thankful for that breastplate of righteousness is not based upon mine. It's based upon his. The object of our faith today, often the object of our faith is the outcome of the situation. We think we know how we want this to end. We think we know the right way a situation should end. And we make that the object of our faith. We make that the object. Instead of making the object of the faith, the Lord Jesus himself. The object is the truth of God and what he says about us, about himself. Situations at times will not make sense. So we focus on what is true. That we're not forgotten, that God is good, that God is awesome. We may not see it, and it doesn't mean everything is good, that bad things happen, but we have the object of our faith is the truth of God, not ourselves. Faith is to be growing. As you look at faith, faith grows gradually. It's just like a child. Our children, they grow gradually. They don't all of a sudden, bam, boom, they're gone. It may, as you look back, feel like they were just a little kid, then all of a sudden they're there, but faith grows gradually. We use life experiences. We use faith history. Many of you could tell me of all the great men of faith in the Bible, and yet you will also go back to the great men of faith in the Bible, and you will see that there were times when they were not great men of faith. It grew. experience upon experience of trusting God in situations where they had no control, where they just said, God, I'm just going to be obedient to you and do what you want me to do. And they saw that God was faithful. Faith grows through knowing God's word, being in the word, because we need to know what God says about you. Some of you live under the shame and guilt, that, and it just binds you up, and you don't realize the forgiveness and the freedom that God has given of you. Often the soil, listen to this, often the soil that great faith grows in is the soil of suffering. Many of you are in the life groups and they're going through suffering, the book on suffering. Listen, there was never a promise that this life would be easy, that this life would be fair. Never that promise. And yet I know that that's not what is taught on TV today. You'll turn on the TV, the TV preachers will say, oh, name it, claim it. God wants you to be wealthy. God, you know, that doesn't work. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. What does work is that sometimes life just sucks. But guess what? I can hold on to the object of my faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ says, he never fails. He is good, can be nothing but good. He knows my need. He knows where I need to be. He knows my life. And that gives us an assurance. That gives us and steps us off the roller coaster of our emotions and our feelings, that the object of our faith is God and what he says about us. George Mueller was, many of you have read his biography, George Mueller wanted to start in England an orphanage. He basically had about 50 cents worth to start an orphanage. And yet there was such a need in the streets, and he just determined, God, I'm just going to start praying that you just meet the need that we have. And he made the same determination that he was going to ask no man for a thing. He was just going to depend upon God. Thousands and thousands of kids later, as he prayed and God supplied, I mean, times when he thanked God for the food that they were going to eat when there was nothing in the kitchen. God, as we gather to eat, we thank you for the food that we're going to eat. And a knock on the door and there would be food out in the cart. Ah, well, I wish I had that kind of faith, to tell you the truth. But George Mueller writes, trials, difficulties, obstacles, and yes, even bereavements, these are the very food of faith. That the soil that our faith grows in is oftentimes in trials and suffering. But God says that this shield of faith is to protect us. That it protects us. That it protects us by faith. Now, the Roman shield was quite large. The early shields were about 2 feet wide by about 4 feet tall. They would wrap them in leather, and before battle, they would take that leather and they would the shield, and they would dip it in water. It was wood, and they would dip it in water and soak it so that the arrows, if there were arrows that were on fire that were being shot at them, it would help distinguish those arrows. Each side of the shield was beveled, and so as they would approach, they could join together, left each person, they would bevel their tops, and they could form a wall. The next person could even come alongside them and stand, instead of getting down, stand crouched, and bevel his on top. And so they had covering throughout. It became a wall. And it would protect them. Their shield was to protect them. And it was to extinguish those arrows. And God says that when we take this shield of faith, which is trusting God, when we take this shield of faith, that the arrows that are shot at us trying to discourage you and offset you, trying to get you to focus on something other than him, he says all of them will be extinguished. They'll be done. That's quite a promise, isn't it? He didn't say some of them. He said all of them can be done. Every scheme, every tactic. Now, faith is seen, quite frankly, it's demonstrated. Faith is really just seen in a demonstration of trust. That I trust God. Who or what are you trusting in this morning? If we really want to find out if what we're trusting in is right, maybe we should ask the question, how quickly could it be taken away from us? How quickly could it disappear? We trust in a lot of things, don't we? We trust in money. We have those who trust in health. We have those who trust their job. We trust in family. We trust in a lot of things, but how quickly can they be taken away? The object, the focus of our faith is God and the truth therein. The shield of faith that God knows that he cares. My little granddaughter, Addie, loves puzzles. Man, she loves puzzles. And quite frankly, she's better at putting puzzles together than I am. I'm not talking about just the big pieces, which she does that better, but I'm talking about little pieces. She just has this brain. Puts pieces together. We often see our life as taking that box of 1,000 pieces of puzzle and turned upside down. There they all are. And then we go about the process of, here's all these pieces, I got to write them all. Because you have to write them all to see the, well, you know, get an idea. So we write them all. Then we're trying to put it all together. And we get frustrated, we can't find this, we can't find that. And all along, and yet the analogy here is that while we view our life as individual pieces of this puzzle, we're trying to correct it all and hang on to it all and make it all come out. God sees, God took the box top and is looking at the box top and says, I know what the puzzle is going to look like. You may not see it because you're focused on the puzzle, the piece, and not the picture. We need to see God as the being the big picture, that he's holding the box lid. Faith isn't about feelings. Faith isn't about emotions or good wishes or thoughts. It starts with saving faith, knowing you need a Savior, knowing that heaven ultimately is where we long to be, and unless you know the Lord as your Savior, you won't be there. That starts with the truth, the belt of truth that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I know it's not politically correct or spiritually correct in some veins to say it, but that's what the Word says. And that saving faith leads to a living faith, which is learning to trust in the truth of God. What is it in your life today that you may need to take and set aside, the situation in your life where you need to say, God, the probability is it's going to fail. Probability is that I can't control. The probability is that I'm going to experience failure. God, I just trust you. I've just got to trust you. God, do that which is the miraculous, which is only you can do. Because it's all I can see taking shape now. Can you trust God in the area of your life that is the most painful right now? Can you focus on him? Take your eyes off self. Quit trying to control. Quit trying to fix. And just say, God, I just want to be your humble servant dressed in your righteousness. Let's pray.
Thank you for this time. Father, we thank you so much for the faith that we have in you, God, that can be found in something that is unchangeable, is immovable. God, we thank you that even though there's all these other things that vie for our time and try to drag us down, God, that you are the constant. And Father, help us to always look to you in everything that we do, God, to trust you implicitly with our lives, with the things that we care about the most. And God, when we have those downtimes and we have the suffering and the pain, God, build that faith in us. Help us to understand that through trials we can have joy because you're refining us and you're making us stronger for you. So help us to do that every single day, God. Help us never to give up. And even when we do fall, to understand you're there to pick us up. Help us to have that type of faith. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.